He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, what a week it's been, version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and our CFP on call for you 24/7. We've got the little bit of green in the screen today, not much. The market continues to go back and forth, but you know what? I think there's going to be a deal. There has to be a deal. It's down to one country right now. S&P is up a little bit right now. The S&P is up 4 points right now. There we go. The Dow's up 38 points. The NASDAQ doing best of all. It's up 44 points. I saw some good action in NVIDIA and Spotify today. The Russell 2000 is down a little bit. The gold market is hitting a new all-time high, and the number one ranked stock in the app, I'll just give you a hint, it's one we purchased 2 days ago. So you can look that up. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's the number one ranked, and it does have to do with the precious metals. The big jump today is the bond market. Something weird going on there. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm that watches the markets daily and has made some pretty bold calls over the years. Here's my thoughts on this market. From my perspective, this has been narrowed down to one country, and maybe that was the design to begin with. It almost reminds me of Moses and Pharaoh. You know, Moses would throw down a plague, and Pharaoh would return with one. It says the tariffs go back and forth. Okay, China, here's a 20% plague, but remember, China already is on the verge of a depression, okay? So they start off in a very weak spot. They don't have a lot of bargaining power. But like Pharaoh, you know, there's a lot of pride and there's a lot of hard hearts and, you know, stiff backs. And I always think of that Tom Petty song, I won't back down. You can back me up to the gates of hell and I won't back down. That's kind of where she is right now, planted with his feet in the sand. But he's in a weak position. And, you know, another plague that's been thrown at them. What are we up to? 100? I've lost track. Is it 144%?
Yeah, 140 is the one that kind of comes to mind. Yeah, in that range.
Okay. So nobody's going to buy anything from China. I'm not going to go on to Amazon and say, by the way, this is the list price, but there's 140% tariff. That's another plague against him. The third plague is Amazon's not buying their inventory right now. They don't want to get caught holding the bag. And I can hear the screaming, I mean, all the way from the Shenzhen province about this. You know, hey, you know, we've got to lay off our workers. What are we supposed to do here, Chairman Xi? And of course, the rest of the world has kind of got their eyes on China right now also. And it almost seems like China's a bit isolated right now in the world. They've called on other countries to join with them. Australia refused to do it. And the other countries, I think, have been warned, don't you dare retaliate against us like China did, or you'll get treated like China did. So I have a pretty high level of confidence and comfort inside my gut that they're eventually going to do the right thing that will be beneficial to both countries. I mean, Nixon did a bold thing back in the 60s and opened up negotiations with a country that nobody thought was possible. I mean, that was even a tougher regime, I would say, with Mao Zedong. I mean, he was a murderer, murdered millions and millions of people. And yet he let America in, and that began this whole negotiation and relationship with China. Now here we are today. China went pretty far to the right or to the middle, I would say, and you know, with the Jack Ma and Alibaba, and then they decided to go back to their kind of their hard left stance and took back Hong Kong, or they considered it theirs all along, and pretty much cracked down on the people and locked up people during COVID and whatnot. That didn't help their economy, and now here we are today. And I think that eventually the Red Sea will part and there will be a grand deal made that is beneficial. It's got to be beneficial to both sides, okay? And that's where I see things happening. So if you're predicting right now, you know, a huge depression in America and layoffs, then you're basing that. You would have to base that conclusion on nothing. Nobody's ever going to give, and these tariffs are going to remain in place, like we talked yesterday, Barry, like COVID. Okay, nobody's going to back down. COVID's never going to leave our shores, and it's with us until the market goes to zero and everybody on the planet is dead. And that's kind of what you would have to. That would kind of have to be your thesis here. I read a lot of headlines on Seeking Alpha this morning. You know what? I don't see anybody that's like agrees with me. They're all like, don't buy into this, you know, what Trump did on Thursday. It's a fool, or Wednesday. It's a fool's game. I'm not buying into this. I'm not. It's a lot easier to be negative. You're going to get more page reads with the negative headlines. Although you would think, Barry, that the positive headlines would stand out like a sore thumb, you know, in this current state that we are in. So anyways, that's where we are. Yesterday we had a big sell-off after the big rally on Wednesday. And as I look at the charts, I look at the technical charts today, and it looks to me like a very wide and sloppy, as sloppy as it gets. Upward trend, believe it or not, from the bottom that I think we hit last Wednesday during the darkest hour before Trump came in with his 90-day pause. And that's another thesis that you would have to have, is that the 90-day pause is just that, a 90-day pause, and then the hammer comes down again. But from what I can tell, they needed a 90-day pause to work out the deals. You can't be dealing with 90 countries at the same time. You've got to take them one at a time. Now, I'm sure they've got a pretty large team there, the negotiating team. And from what I can understand, they're very close to a lot of final deals there. So that's my thesis, that it all gets worked out. It has to. I think China is up against it right now. Okay, the Dow was down 1,000 yesterday. You getting sick of these, what is that, four-digit moves, Barry, yet? Is your stomach used to it? Or are you just watching the Masters these days?
Got some Dramamine, you know, helps out.
Tums. I'm a Tums guy.
Course,
I buy Tums by the carton, you know.
Yeah, and the bond market, it's a thing moving today. I mean,
that's what,
saw,
okay, I want to get your opinion. Yeah. It's 4.51. It's gone up 50 basis points. What is going on in the bond market?
Well, you had, you know, really two things. Number one, initially, right, you had that kind of flight to safety, and it brought the 10-year below 4%. And then, of course, now I think, you know, combination, I think you've got, you know, likely some selling from countries, you know, China potentially being one of those treasury sellers. We also had some new issuance right this week in terms of you know, issuing new debt.
It went well, by the way.
Yeah, and so that, you know, that also you know, adding some supply just naturally, right, will push the rate up. But you know what, we had a pretty benign, you know, CPI report. Of course, you know, a lot of people are throwing that report out just because who knows going forward.
Well, then
forward.
The PPI today came out too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And it was pretty benign.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, obviously we get a good report, and of course folks are going to be, oh, well, we want to see what the next one looks like, right? Of
yeah.
Course, you know.
Okay. So in my opinion, I think China is using that as a negotiation tactic.
True.
Selling big batches of our bonds, and just wait till we back out of all of our bonds. That's one of the cards that they do hold, is they do hold a lot of our debt. And if they were to unload all of it at once, you know, who knows what that would do to the market. But that is one of the cards that China holds. And I believe, from where I sit, I've seen an attack on stocks from the short sellers. And I got to believe China owns quite a bit of, has exposure to our markets. The sovereign wealth funds have exposure to our markets. Then I saw an attack on Bitcoin, all right? And now I'm seeing an attack on the dollar as it got smacked yesterday. And now I'm seeing attack on the bond market. It just seems to be too coincidental that all of a sudden all these U.S. assets are coming under sudden attack. And I think you can trace the culprit. That's just my opinion. Okay, when we come back, we got to talk about gold for a minute. Another new high today. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Gold tops 3,200 for the first time. Could you believe those breakouts yesterday in the gold stocks, Barry? You were minding the mint while I was sitting in the dentist chair around 2 o'clock yesterday. Did you see those breakouts in
Gold stocks? Luckily, they weren't giving you a new gold tooth over there. It would have cost you a little bit more.
I'm a cheapskate. I get the plastic one. Anyways, I mean, gold has been a good investment for us in the premier growth portfolio and in the growth and income portfolio. And our most recent buy, is the number one ranked stock in the app today. So you got to go to the app and look it up yourself. Don't tell them what it is. But it wasn't number one when I bought it. It is now. So maybe I helped it. I don't know. Okay, the Asia stocks were mixed. Nikkei plunges 5% amid U.S., China. You know, that's what it's come down to. I think that's my biggest point here today. It's really been isolated. And I found in life, you know, if you can isolate all the noise and all of the ancillary problems and focus on the main elephant in the room, I remember when I had a problem with my irrigation underground pipes. I had a leaking pipe somewhere, and the water company kept saying, "Oh, you're using all this water." And trying to find it was just, I mean, I bought this. I did not build this house. I mean, I didn't put it in the sprinklers originally, but I finally isolated it. I knew about where it was. Okay. And I feel the same way. We've isolated all the countries in the world, Barry, and we've narrowed it down to one little area. Well, it's a big area, but it's one government, and it's China, okay? And that's going to go back and forth. You've got almost like Pharaoh versus Moses here, throwing down the snakes and the frogs and turning the river to blood and this and that and whatnot. And China's got a weak hand. I really believe that. And I listened to several people yesterday. I listened to several economists. And I would just say that most of them are tainted by their hatred for Trump. Okay, that's just listening from where I come from and my own analysis of the thing. There's people out there that just hate the guy. And they're taking the side that this will never get resolved. That's what you have to do. I mean, and I am seeing some downwards revisions to earnings estimates. Well, sure, there's going to be some. I think I'm the first one to do it. If you read my newsletter last Friday and came out early Sunday morning. Yeah, it came out Sunday morning. I can't even remember. They all run together. But I made a pretty decent adjustment to my earnings estimates for this year and next year. But I do think I'm in the camp that the problem is going to get resolved. I think that's just the logical outcome to all of this. I can't tell you the day, and I can't tell you the week. I can't tell you the month. But the two sides are going to come together and work something out that benefits both sides. The White House clarifies that the tariff on China is now 145% due to the fentanyl. There's a fentanyl levy. That's what the original 20% was for fentanyl. And you got to keep that in mind, too. Was that sustainable for them to help Mexico and the drug cartels smuggle fentanyl into America? Are we supposed to just look the other way while they're doing that? I mean, that's all part of this issue that has to be resolved. The House approves Trump's big budget framework. Okay, so it sounds like they're getting pretty close to a deal there. The House and the Senate now are coming together. BMO Capital cuts its S&P year-end target amid tariff turbulence. And it's pretty interesting that they've lowered their they're almost totally in line with what I did on Friday. Maybe, or Saturday morning. Maybe they should hire me as their macro analyst guy. My numbers are almost exactly the same with what they come up with. They revised their 2025 year-end S&P 500 target price from 6,700 down to 6,100. And they lowered their earnings estimates from 275 to 250. 275 to 250. So they're really the first ones that have... I'm really the first one. They're the first big public. This is the first public statement that I've seen on Seeking Alpha of a firm actually showing us a number and a target price and how they're basing what they're basing their target price on other than just their hatred for the current administration. The federal budget deficit narrowed less than expected. Well, it hasn't really taken effect yet. We spent $161 billion more than we brought in March. And that was wider than the $150. So Trump has not narrowed the gap yet. But I did hear Musk in the news conference, press conference yesterday, said that they've so far found $150 billion. Well, that's a far cry from the $1 trillion he thought he was going to find. But they're not done yet. They found $150 billion, which is a one month of deficit, basically. I say anything's better than nothing, but I think they're going to find a whole lot more. You know, the one that's caught me by surprise yesterday, wouldn't this be something if this were true? RFK Jr. said it twice. Did you hear that? Did you hear what he said yesterday, Barry, in the press conference?
No, I think I missed it. He said it twice.
He said that we will know by September what is causing autism. I said, what? And somebody even in the room said, what did you just say, Bobby? And he said, we will know the cause of autism by September. Now, can you imagine? I mean, we're down to 1 in 32 kids now are somewhere on that autism scale. That's a massive impact, whatever it is. I have no idea. My wife's theory is it's the filler in the vaccines. That's her theory, okay? Everybody's got a theory. She thinks it's tied to the vaccine somehow. Which one? I don't know. How many vaccines did they get nowadays, Barry? Like 10 or 11?
I mean, you know, MMRs, I mean, you go, I mean,
a whole battery
seems like,
of
especially
them.
Early on, I mean, you're getting, you know, usually what, probably at least three different rounds in the first, you know, what, 12 months, I would imagine.
Who's the culprit? What's the culprit? Who's responsible? Why didn't we catch this a long time ago? In the meantime, Novartis has announced plans to invest $23 billion to build and expand 10 U.S. plants. Okay, Novartis is a Swiss company. They're building a new R&D facility in San Diego, California, a place I know a little bit about. The expansion's anticipated to generate over 1,000 jobs and roughly 4,000 additional jobs. So, you know, they're keeping track. I mean, it's up to over several trillion dollars now of announcements of plants in the United States. The title of my article in the Seeking Alpha on Tuesday, the day before the big jump in the market, was, I think the tariffs are going to work. Maybe I'm in the minority. I don't care. I've been in the minority on many things. But I've been right. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, AI. What can it be used for? I liked what Jack Ma had to say today. I totally agree with that. He said that it should basically support humans and not replace them. Now, look what they're doing in the drug industry. They're going to quit testing, doing animal testing, which is quite a humane thing. I'm surprised that this wasn't done a long time ago, but we didn't have AI a long time ago. They're going to phase out the animal. Did you know it was a requirement of the FDA that they had to test on animals, Barry? Just
to see what happens.
It was a requirement. And instead, they're going to replace it with AI. And there's a lot of AI-focused biotechs. NOTV and Schrodinger, SDGR, ABSI, ABSI, several others. And I like that. So something good has come from AI. Now, somebody asked me, obviously my app is, it's AI. I mean, it looks at numbers, it's algorithms, it's formulas, and it has no emotion. And, you know, like last Friday, it said NASDAQ is a sell. And somebody wrote to me, said, if NASDAQ is a sell, what good is your app? I said, well, you know what? I override the AI with HI, human intelligence. We're in an extraordinary time right now. You know, algorithms can't tell you what to do when a COVID crisis first hits, right? Or other things that have happened over the years when packaged mortgage products start to implode.
Blow up, yeah.
Like they did in 08, 09. You're going to have to do some human reasoning, some human, logic. I just think there's a lot that AI cannot do. And I've gotten a lot of wrong answers, by the way, on AI when I've had some kind of electrical issue or something like that. And it was not the right answer. So I agree with Jack Ma there that we should not replace humans with AI, but we should use AI and then put humans, in the equation also. Tesla has stopped making Model S and Model X, taking Model X and S orders. They make those in America and ship them to China. They're not made in China. So obviously with 100% tariff coming back the other way, or wherever it's at, I don't know where China is against us. China does not buy that much from us. But they do buy Model S's and Model X. The other one, I guess the Model Y, is actually made, and he has a gigafactory in Shanghai where he builds them. But the S and the X, so he stopped taking orders there. And, of course, his ones that are made in China are having quite a struggle right now. His European, his Gigafactory in Germany, they're not. He's a lot of backlash against him. Now, he was at the cabinet meeting yesterday, gave an update, and he's still on the job with Doge. I think they've, like I said, the latest number, the official number is $150 billion. I was a little underwhelmed by that, but you know what? We'll take it. I've heard the number a trillion thrown around, and then on the other hand, they're not quite done yet. You can pick up a Cybertruck right now for $69,990, And if you get the $7,500 federal EV tax credit, that takes it down to $62,490. I'm seeing more and more of them. I saw a couple of
there's
red
not
ones.
Too many, there's not too many full-size vehicles out there that you can buy for $60,000.
Well, I can tell you that an EV Mercedes, fully EV, is up around the $100,000 mark. That Ford F-150 that's EV, the Lightning, was up around $150,000. Something like that, and it's plunged in value. I have a friend who has one, but picking up a Cybertruck, I don't personally like the looks of them. I feel like I'm a space alien if I was driving that thing around and some kind of flying saucer just landed on the planet. $62,490, if you figure in the 70. So if you like what Musk is doing, go out and buy a Cybertruck. If you don't like what Musk is doing, you know, throw an egg at one. There you go. If China tariffs stick, iPhones could cost $2,000 or more. Well, okay, again, Wedbush is using the thesis that this current tariff, some of the iPhone is built in America. Not everything comes from overseas. So they did the math on all the parts. And if the current tariffs stay in place, which I think is probably, as you weigh out door number one, door number two, door number three, like they used to do on Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall, I think door number three, a deal's going to be made. I think door number one, that the tariffs are going to stay where they're at. That's what, you know, a lot of people are basing their thesis on. I don't think that's a very good logical conclusion myself, because it's not sustainable for China. There's no way that they could survive, their economy could survive. They're not going to sell all this stuff that they're selling on Amazon to their own people. Okay, I mean, they're a manufacturing country. They're not a consumption country. We're the consumption country. A manufacturing country needs a consumption country to buy their products. And a consumption country needs a manufacturing to manufacture their products. It's a nice marriage, really. It's a nice partnership that we have. And I think both sides realize that and eventually will come to some... Maybe I'm too optimistic. I just try to be logical as I look at door number one. Door number two, door number three would be, or door number two would be, it just keep escalating until it leads to a, you know, a war, a full-on war with weapons and everything. That would be another possibility, I suppose. Hegseth slashes 5.1 in defense spending, deemed wasteful by Doge. I'm surprised there wasn't more than that, but the billions are adding up. I mean, every billion adds up. Stellantis is in deep doo-doo. Their Q1 shipments estimates down 9% year-over-year. Stellantis is a Dutch company now. They own Alfa Romeo, Maserati, Chrysler, Jeep, and several other brands that many were once owned by the U.S., and they are totally subject to tariffs, except for the things that they build here in America. Stellantis reported U.S. sales momentum for the Jeep Compass, the Grand Cherokee, and the Dodge Ram. Okay, those are all Stellantis products. They also have Citroen, Opel, Fiat, etc. So anyways, that's I wouldn't want to own an auto manufacturer right now, any auto manufacturer. NVIDIA, Marvell, and Focus, as Citi lowers estimates on tariff uncertainty. Well, I'm seeing some pretty good action. Now, we didn't do any buying yesterday. I looked at all the charts before I went to the dentist yesterday, and I didn't see one thing that I liked. I don't like a... I don't like a market where you had a big up day and then you had a big down. I like for things to settle a little bit. Or to get way washed out. And that's why I did a lot of buying on Monday and Tuesday, because I felt like things were getting washed out. Okay, that means that the, what do you call that, final last, it's capitulation, all right? You know, How many more times do I need to? I get alerts on my phone from CNN, CNBC, the Wall Street Journal. How many times have they used the word plunge, plummets, pounded? Sinks. Just, you know, they just love it. They just love sending out everything. I just got one. Consumer confidence plummets. Well, the restaurant I went to after dental work was pretty full last night. I didn't see any bad consumer sentiment there. But, yes, people are worried. They see their 401k, their Roth. They're going to come back. I really, truly believe that. I believe that this is one of the better buying opportunities. They don't come along very often. And a lot of people missed my buys right before the announcement on Wednesday. I had made three buys right before that. And later in the day, they says, is it too late to get in? I said, yes, the window has closed for now. That doesn't mean it's not going to open again. And it doesn't mean that other windows are going to open. It just happened to be those three stocks that I bought on Wednesday I felt were right there at the right time in the right place. That's why I played that song by Dr. John. I was in the right place. Must have been the wrong time. You got to be in the right place at the right time. It doesn't always work out that way, but we try to do our best and look for opportunities. Today, I think there's going to be some opportunities. I have today 611 charts to go through. Oh, here's another one. Wall Street Journal. Consumer sentiment has tanked. So add tank to your vocabulary. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I think what we need to all hope for, that we all need to wish for, is a resolution to the elephant in the room, China and the U.S. And, you know, both sides continue to amp up the pressure. You know, you've got Amazon. To me, that's a pretty big deal, not buying there. I drove by a big Amazon warehouse. I think they're building another one out there along the I-26. I don't know how many there are in America. Now, those are smart factories, obviously. They can get you what you order the next day or within a day or two. You know, most of that, I've never seen the actual count. I've seen 40% of what Amazon sells comes from China, and I've seen 70% of what Amazon sells that comes from China. I think that we're going to find out what does come from China here real quickly. I think there's going to be a little bit of backlash from U.S. buyers. They might be willing to pay a little more, you know, to not buy a Chinese product right now. Who knows? But that is a big thing that happened to China this past week. I think that's their supermarket to the world is Amazon, Mercado Libre, which they don't have any issues with there. I don't know if South America charges China any tariffs. Maybe they do. I don't know. But that's the elephant in the room. And it's nice that we're not now dealing with 120 countries all at once, Barry, with reciprocal tariffs, that we've got it down to just one.
Yeah, I heard
that's major progress.
Well, and that's why you had to do the pause. You talked about it a couple of days ago. Is, you know, you kind of had to do a pause, or because you get so many, such a long line of people that want to, you know,
it's
people
like
that
Baskin
want to actually
Robbins,
negotiate
in Burbank, California. There's so many people that want their ice cream and they want it now. You got to take a number. We had a fish market too in San Diego that was very popular, Point Loma Seafoods. You had to go in there and take a number, and they would call your number, and then it was your turn to pick out, you know, which piece of fish that you wanted. You had to get the halibut before it was all gone. That usually goes first. JD.com is setting up a $27 billion fund to boost exporters' domestic sales. Well, good luck with that, because I don't think China can get by selling the products they make in their factories to their own people. And it comes down to also a little bit of who ends up paying the tariff. Well, when the study done on the 20% tariff that Trump charged the first time on China, the consumer ended up paying 2 of the 20%, according to a study by MIT. The other was eaten by the producer, who that comes out of their gross margins and their profit margins. And another is the way that the currencies work, and that's another one. You know, I listened to
China reduced their currency. Yeah, did China devalued their currency a little bit yesterday?
Okay, and that's exactly what I was gonna in this last few minutes here. This is pretty important. He talked about this at length, Peter Navarro, yesterday. He listed 10 ways. It's not just the tariff, okay? Playing with your currency has a big impact on cheating. And Barry, maybe you can just, in layman's terms, how does China cheat in the trade between the U.S. and us and other nations with their currency?
Yeah, well, you know, reducing, I mean, in other words, particularly for an exporter, right, if you can reduce your, you know, bring your value of your currency down, then, you know, it makes your products even cheaper around the globe. And so, you know, it's, you know, it wouldn't say it's a form of, you know, quote unquote dumping. That's usually more blatant in terms of dumping, you know, steel, for example, as the Chinese did solar panels in the 2010s. But, you know, reducing your currency is also a way to, you know, really dump your goods on the world, because you're essentially putting, you know, the rest at a competitive, you know, disadvantage in terms of cost.
Yeah. 100%. So, I mean, people don't realize that. You know, there's hedge funds, and I'm sure Bessent was one of them, because he was trained by Soros. Soros picked on currencies around the world. There's a lot of money to be made by people that know how currencies work one against another. And, you know, I saw the dollar. I looked at a chart of the U.S. dollar yesterday, and it was falling. Well, that, in a way, it's an advantage for us, for our exporters, right? Because our goods are less expensive on the world stage. But I also think there's an attack right now taking place on our dollar. The short sellers, they're ruthless. They're relentless. They'll pick on anything. They'll pick on your grandmother, you know, if they want to. They'll short her. But they'll short currencies, they'll do Bitcoin, they'll do the bond market, those are called bond vigilantes. They'll pick on one stock, they'll pick on indexes, they'll pick on sectors. I would just say this, short selling over the long haul has not been a very good way to make money. Most of the short sellers are out of business. They're out of business. Remember, you had a big guy down in Florida, Chanos, Jim Chanos. He was a well-known short seller.
Close the doors. Yeah, I mean,
close their doors.
The problem with the short is, yeah, and the problem with the short is, you know, theoretically, right, a stock can only go to zero, but could go to infinity, right? And so you're essentially have unlimited risk in terms of, you know, in terms of shorting a stock to begin with. That's what happened with, the Reddit crowd with GameStop.
Yep, exactly. Okay, I will be doing the newsletter this weekend. I'm not going to do a newsletter next week, believe it or not. I haven't done this in a long time, but I've got it's a 3-day weekend. It's Good Friday. It's Easter.
Yeah,
I'll send out a shorter version of the newsletter. But I'm going to Dollywood.
There you go. Take the grandkids.
Yeah. You know how it is after the football game. I'm going to Disneyland. Well, around here we say I'm going to Dollywood. Which is kind of a, you know, look, it's kind of a hillbilly version of Disneyland, which I like a lot.
But with elevation, yeah.
Yeah, elevation. It's in the Smoky Mountains. Now, I don't do that upside-down roller coaster. I don't need to. I've got the NASDAQ to do that and the Russell 2000. They need to do a new ride, the plunger or something, that goes down and then up 2,000, down 2,000, up 2,000, and call it the NASDAQ, the QQQ plunger. So anyways, I remain very optimistic on the market that something is going to give, and there's going to be a little adjustment, maybe a quarter or two, to the earnings. There's no question about that. That's a foregone conclusion. We're not going to see 7,000 on the S&P 500 like some people were saying. So there's never been a better time to get for a week trial to the full Monty, the trading, everything. Go to GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.